This morning's reading is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Well, for a number of years, I've heard many positive things about a ladies' conference held in Leeds called Cherish. And a number of ladies from CSK here have attended on their own in previous years. Well, this year, I went to Cherish. The conference was indeed amazing. I'm going again next year. I've already booked. Now, we won't be organising a trip from CSK, but ladies, if you want to go, book early, as you also have to arrange your own accommodation. Now, this year, one of the speakers was this gentleman you can see on the screen, Louis Giglio. And I need to credit him with what I'm about to say today. Now, he spoke for about 40 minutes on Psalm 23. Don't worry, I'm not going to be speaking for 40 minutes. When I heard the message, though, I just felt that this was a message for church here. And later, I'll share with you just 9 words that I have needed to repeat to myself numerous times since hearing them. So would you pray with me? Lord, would you open our hearts to your words today, Lord? May we not only hear your words, but may we act upon them, believe them, and take them into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known passage of Scripture. The words are very familiar to many of us. The Lord is my shepherd. Can we say that together? The Lord is my shepherd. This is a statement of declaration. It is definitely always true that Jesus is a shepherd. And once we have turned to Christ as our Saviour, inviting him into our lives, then relationally, it is true that he is my shepherd. But do we believe this? And do we allow Jesus to be our shepherd every day? And how do we know if we are allowing Jesus to be our shepherd? How do we know if this truth is operational in our lives? Well, the very next words of Psalm 23 are important. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, when that's more than informational and more than relational, and it's operational, then we can say with David, who wrote this psalm, I lack nothing. In other words, when I'm at peace with myself and those around me, when I know that I have all I need to be the person God created me to be, when I know that I have every resource to do everything God has called me to do, and when I can face a storm of life with confidence and worship in the darkest night, I know operationally the Lord is being my shepherd right here and right now. The promise now is unbelievable. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I definitely will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If we can get these promises, these truths into our lives during the storms of lives, then everything can change for us. Let's look at verse 5, which is quite a challenging verse in the midst of all the beautiful promises here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let's think about that for a moment. Is that where we would want God to prepare a table for us? In the presence of our enemies? Surely we would want God to prepare a table for us in his presence and to get rid of all the enemies. We all just want to be in his presence, don't we? So what is God saying to us here? Well, he knows that there are going to be storms in our lives. That's real life. Relationship difficulties, family problems, job challenges, health issues, financial problems. And God says to us, in the midst of any circumstances, whatever pressure we're under or opposition we're facing, whatever's being said about you, if someone's trying to stab you in the back, whatever's being orchestrated around you, here's what God says. I, your shepherd, am going to prepare a table before you and for you, right in the presence of all the people and all the circumstances that seem to be against you, right in the middle of the storm that you're in. And sometimes a picture stays with us more than a message of words. So here's a table. I'll take a seat. The Lord has prepared a table. And let's see a few things about it. The table is for two people. Why? Because we read these words in the Bible in Song of Songs. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. Yes, that's a great picture of heaven, where we're going to the greatest feast of the Lamb. We're going to be eating and be presented with a spread like we've never seen. But we're not there yet. So on the way, we're going to get lots of little tables in every storm and every battle and every circumstance. In the midst of every enemy we're going to face, our shepherd is going to say, one thing I'd like to do, even though I know things are tough at the moment, I'd like to prepare a table here for you. For you and me. Why? Because he's calling us into an intimate relationship with him. David, who wrote this psalm, lived in an arid climate and in a culture where what is on this table would have been the most delectable, delightful, and costly of gifts. To welcome someone, to put a spread of grapes and fresh pineapple and amazing food, vegetables and cakes and things, would have been to say to the person, you're so valuable. You're welcome here. I want to extend the greatest hospitality to you. So the picture is, you and your shepherd at a table for two in the midst of whatever you're facing. So yes, there may be difficult circumstances pressing in on you, situations that are outside of your control around you, but the shepherd is at the table with you. It's a wonderful scene. But as soon as he prepares the table, and amazing and the possibility is the promise is, it's surprising how quickly someone else can get at the table. In a heartbeat, the enemy can be at the table. He just shows up. And before you know it, he's drinking your drink and eating your food and dominating the way you think about the storm and the circumstances you're in. Just like with the story of Adam and Eve. Did God really say that? He sows seeds of doubt. So how would you know if the enemy is at your table? He's there if you've heard this voice in your life. You're not going to make it. When someone asks us how we are and we respond that we don't know whether we're going to get through our storm, our circumstances, then we're mimicking the one at the table who tells us the lies. You're probably not going to survive. That probably isn't going to work out. You're not going to get through this. What we need to remember is this. We're at the table with the shepherd of the sheep, the Son of God. And if anything is being spoken into our world that is different from what the shepherd is speaking, that's how we know that the enemy is at the table. And we need to regroup back around the one who is with us. You see, the beauty in this whole setup isn't the fruit and the vegetables and the cake and the wonderful things that the shepherd puts on the table. The beauty of this setup is who is at the table with you, who is at the table with me. The one at the table with us says these words, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." None of us are walking to the valley of the shadow of death if the shepherd is active and operational in our lives. We're all going through whatever it is that we are going through, and we are all going to stand on the other side of whatever it is and give praise and thanks to God, who is going to be with us the whole way through. Another way we know that the enemy is at our table is if there is a voice in our head dominating and intimidating us with these kinds of ideas. You're not good enough. You didn't grow up in the right place. You don't have the right credentials. The shepherd at your table is saying this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Because he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus paid for this reservation with his own life? That's how he booked this table for you. And if you look to him and listen to his voice, he is saying to you, I love you so much that I moved history to set this table to be with you. You are prized by majesty and have been invited to the banqueting table. Right in the middle of a life storm, the shepherd tells you, "You know what? I love you. I value you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. There's only one of you out of 7.5 billion people on earth. Do you know why? Because I made you exactly the way I made you. I wove you together. I'm the one who designed you. And I want to sit at this table so that we can laugh together, do life together. And if you're at the table with me, I'm telling you, it's going to work out. No matter who and no matter what circumstances are surrounding you." Another way you know the enemy is at your table is when you feel like this. You feel like everyone is against you. What the enemy does is he wants to isolate you by taking maybe one fact. Maybe you have got a friend who's talking behind your back. Maybe someone you trusted did break your confidence. Maybe someone did walk out on you. Maybe a lot of things have turned upside down for you. But what the enemy does in some of our lives is that he turns the one thing into an exaggerated reality. You start imagining things and worrying about things that are just not true. Perhaps you sent a text message or an email to a friend and they don't reply immediately. So you think, oh no, I must have upset them. You lie awake at night replaying conversations 100 times over in your bed about how you're going to stop things and control things and fix things and modify the situation. And the enemy's saying, hey, you know, no one at the office likes you. Then you're going to work the next day with that already lodged in your mind. And you walk in and Jim's over there. And he's at his computer. And you say, hello, Jim. And he doesn't respond because he's so focused because he's got to get this report out in the next 30 minutes. And you think, oh no, I've upset Jim. He hates me as well. Here's what God wants to say. There may be some real threats in your life, some real circumstances, and some real enemies. But the shepherd is at the table. And he's saying, listen, here's the main idea that we have to establish. The scripture says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So apparently we can't stop him from prowling around, but we can re-engage with the shepherd who's at our table. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we read about the prophet Elisha. The king of Haran was after Israel, and Elisha was letting the king of Israel know all Haran's enemy positions, so that the king of Haran says, who is this man of God? Where is he? Well, he's down in Dothan. So he sends an army down there, and they surround Dothan during the night, so that when Elisha's servant wakes up in the morning and sees this amazing Aramean army, he's panicking. And he goes rushing into Elisha the prophet and says, the Arameans have surrounded the city. They're on every hillside. Oh my goodness, we're in trouble here. And Elisha says, no, we're not. Those who are with us are way more than those who are with them. The servant doesn't understand. Where's the Israel armies? Elisha prays and asks God to open the eyes of the servant that he may see. And the eyes of the servant are opened, and he saw the army of angels and the chariots of fire on the hillside, and he's amazed. The Arameans may be surrounding Dothan, but God Almighty is surrounding Elisha and the Aramean army with a much larger army of angels. God had them all surrounded. So if there is somebody who is after you, can I just remind you that God's got you surrounded and he's got them surrounded also. You see, the Lord prepares a table for us And if we keep our eyes fixed on him during the worst storms of life, in the midst of our enemies, we can go to bed at night thanking God that he's got our circumstances surrounded and trusting that the shepherd with a rod and staff will take care of our circumstances and enable us to lay down and rest and sleep. So why has God prepared this wonderful table in the presence of our enemies? So that all our enemies can watch us be as calm and at peace as we can be, right in the midst of whatever schemes they're scheming and the middle of all that we're going through. Our response says, I don't know what you're doing over there, but look who I'm sitting with. My cup is overflowing in the middle of the battle. Look at it. Look at the spread. Look what he's provided. Look who I'm with. Look who is at my table. I'm good. And who is getting the glory right now? The one sitting at the table. Like the psalmist said in another place, those who look to him, their faces are radiant. God is wanting to prove to the world how great he is by the look on our faces in the middle of our storms, because there's no greater testimony, there's no greater story than the story of somebody who's still content in the middle of it all. Your shepherd loves you, and he's prepared a place for you and has invited you to his banqueting table. It's right in the wind. It's right in the storm, in the dark night. It's right in the pressure and the fire, in the furnace, in the flame. The table and the shepherd are there, and he says, come, my beloved, come and sit with me. I've got everything you need. I'll anoint your head with oil. Your cup will overflow, and goodness and love will be with you every step of the way, no matter how hard the road. We're going to get through this together, my friend. We're going to the other side, you and me. Life brings us many storms. And if at this moment you're feeling overwhelmed by your circumstances, anxious, fearful, remember the words of Psalm 23. Remember this picture of the table of the abundance of the Lord that he invites you to. And think about these 9 words. If I could have the last slide up, Peter, please. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Who is in our sight? Who are we allowing to sit at the table determines how we're going to deal with our storms. Is the star breather in your sight? Is the king who loves you in your sight? Is the shepherd in your sight? If he is, then praise will be in your mouth no matter what the circumstances. And this is how we fight our battles. Not with fists, but with a word of praise. Not with retribution, but with adoration of Almighty God. Not trying to get even with other people, but getting our eyes back on Jesus, the one who surrounds us and loves us. This is how to fight the battles, to come through the storms, and to remember those 9 words. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, thank you that you prepare a table for each and every one of us. Thank you that through the calm, and through the storm, you are still Lord and King, and you surround us and our circumstances with your love. Please strengthen and comfort all today who are going through storms, and bring your peace and calm as we trust in you alone. Amen. Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.